Bezras Hashem Yisbarech, today's daf is Lamed Gimel in Meseches Erevin. It's a 251st daf in Shas. We pick up on Lamed Beis Amid Beis, about 10 lines from the bottom. Today's daf is going to be a short daf. It will continue with the halachos of Rishuyos in Hilchos Shabbos on Amid Aleph, as well as on Amid Beis. What is a Rishus HaYachid? What is a Rishus HaRabim? And where can one place an Eruv? We are going to pick up analyzing our Mishnah. Our Mishnah that we had left off with yesterday on Lamed Beis, Amid Beis had told us that there is a distinction of whether an Eruv is placed above 10 Tvachim, where it's not a valid Eruv, versus where an Eruv was placed within 10 Tvachim, where it would be valid. The Gemara has a lot of difficulty explaining what exactly is the distinction between whether it's above 10 Tvachim or not. We pick up with Rava's explanation. 10 lines from the bottom, maybe even a little less. Amar Rava lo shanu. Our Mishnah should not be learned Ella only in a particular case. Be'ilan ha'omed chutz libura shel ir. That if the ilan is outside of the circumference of the city, and you want to extend your shvisa, if you put the Eruv above 10 Tvachim, that's going to be a problem. We will see in a moment why that's so. Aval ilan ha'ome bisochi burishel ir. But if the ilan is put within the city itself, afilu lemala me'asara. Even if it's above 10 Tvachim, it'll also be acceptable. Why? Harezu, hareze Eruv, demasa kiman demal yadami. Because we consider the city, which is surrounded by mechitzos, Rashi explains, as if it's filled up with dirt, and therefore, there is not going to be a problem with the fact that the Eruv is above 10 Tvachin. Why? So the ostensibly explains Rashi in Dibar Maschil de Masa, the problem of the Eruv being above 10 Tvachin is that the Ilan is a Rishus Hayachid, and the area above it, above 10 Tvachim, is its own Rishus, and the ground is a Rishus HaRabim. However, if we view the entire area as filled up, we don't consider this an instance of Ahu b'makom echad ve'ruvo b'makom acher. Rashi points out that there's a little bit of a paradox over here. He's still not allowed to bring the Eruv down from the Rishus HaYachid into that Rishus HaRabim, but it would be enough to be considered it's not entirely a makom acher. Asks the Gemara, Ihachi chutz liibura shel ir nami. Why don't we say this even if he puts it outside of the city? Kivan da'amar Rava, since Rava taught, Hanosen eruvo, yesh lo arba amis. Wherever you put your eruv is considered your avis. Havi lo rishus hayachid. It's like his rishus hayachid. Rishus hayachid ola ad l'rakia. And therefore, that area where his eruv is considered one Rishus, and we don't consider it that the Eruv is on top of a tree, which is a Rishus HaYachid, and underneath is a Rishus HaRabim. We consider that area also as if it's filled up and one domain. Amar Rav Yitzchak Reitner, Mishar She'acha B'ilan Hanote Chutz La'arba Amis Eskinan V'niskavin Lishbos Be'ikara. So this leads Rav Yitzchak Braid Rav Mishirshia to give a different shot. We're talking about a tree that is very large and its branch is more than 4 amis from its trunk. The individual's kavana was to be shoves by the trunk. The problem is that his kavana of shvisa and the place of the eruv are in two different places. And what is the Mishnah saying? Umay lemala, umay lemata. And what does it mean that there is above and below? Rashi explains that the Gemara is bothered. At the end of the day, if our teretz is that if it's above 10 tfachim, so then in such a case, it's considered in separate rishuyos, and if it's below 10 tfachim, it's considered in the same rishus. Then what is the expression lemalo or lemata? The expression should not be lemalo lemata, but gevoa or namoch. Whether it is high or whether it is low. And the Mishnah should have said, Ilan gevoa yud eine ruve eruv, ein gevoa asara e ruve eruv. Now Rashi explains that even though in Dibar Maschil v'hu niskaving, he intended to rest by the trunk, and the branch is more than four amos away, he could bring the Erev moving pachos midalid amos, making a stop less than four amos, and then it will be considered as if he's in that place. The only difficulty we have is this lashon olumalu olamata. Answers the Gemara the Hadar Zakif, that when he put the Erev down on the branch of the tree, it was within 10 tefachim, but the tree straightened out and rose up above 10 tefachim. Rashi adds in Dibar Maschil the Hadar, this is the way it's explained in the Masifta Gemara, that we have to be talking about where majority and the primary branch is within 10 tefachim of the ground, but it sometimes raises itself above 10 tefachim. And therefore, it's lemala ulamata, that it goes a little bit above 10 and a little bit below 10. Asks the Gemara, is it really going to be a problem if it's 4 tefachim out of his range of his where he intended the shvisa and it's above 10? That was how we learned. Even that's not going to be a problem. Vo'iboi maisila derech olav. He could climb up the tree on Bein Hashmashos, where they weren't gozer on shvisa, as we explained on Lamed Vav, Beis on the Beis, Shvus. We weren't gozer a Shvus on Bein Hashmashos, and one is allowed to go a tree on Bein Hashmashos. He could climb up the tree and then bring the Erev, which was above 10 tefachim, to within his 4 tefachim, and where he intended those 4 tefachim, that's his Rishus Hayachid, which is Ola Adurakia. And it's not a problem that it's above 4. Because it's all within his domain, that's Ola Adra Kia. Explains the Gemara, no, Ukidu Ula. We're talking about a very specific case, like Ula's case. Da'amu Ula, Amutisha Bar Birshus Arabim. If there is a 9 tefachim high stand in a Rishus Arabim, Virabim Mikasfin Alav, and many people fix their bags on it, Vizarek Vinoch Al Gabav, and you throw on top of it, Chayiv. One is going to be Chayiv. If we're talking about an area of a tree that rabim are mikasvin alav, and that's the airspace of the tree, then when you, during Bein Hashmashos, are going to be bringing the Erev back to the area of your Rishus, where you were resting next to the trunk, you are going to be bringing it from an area, an airspace of a Rishus HaRabim to a Rishus HaYachid. And that can't be done. And an area that people fix their bags on is considered Rishus HaRabim, because we learned that if you have an amud and you that rabim are mekasvin alav v'zarech v'nach al gabav, you're going to be chayiv. Now our next gemara, if the previous one was technical and difficult, then our next gemara will be even harder. As we mentioned, we're discussing the Rishuyos of Shabbos, but very, very particular cases. Generally, I highly encourage the Talmidim to learn in a regular Gemara without a translation. However, this is one of those exceptions where if you need to take a look at the translation, then it is totally understandable. Be'ezer Hashem, we're going to continue doing this with the young Talmidim of Ramat Beit Shemesh. So we continue seven lines from the top in Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, where the Gemara tries to understand where we got a machlokis between Rebbe and the Rabbanon on yesterday's daf on Lamed Beis Amud Beis. On Lamed Beis Amud Beis, the Gemara had told us that there was a machlokis Rebbe and Rabbanon whether you're allowed to create an Eruv in a place that's not accessible only by going up a tree. And there we had a machlokis whether the Eruv is going to work or not. Now the Gemara just made reference to this machlokis in Rebbe and the Rabbanon, and the Gemara doesn't exactly spell out what exactly is that case. Now we're going to go slowly in this Gemara. My Rebbe, my Rabbanon, what exactly is this case? The Sanya we learned in a Braisa. Nosno be'ilon lemala me'asara tefachim. If you put the Eruv on a tree that's above 10 tefachim, ein Eruv ha'Eruv, then in such a case the Eruv is not a valid Eruv. Now, we've already discussed the concept of who b'makom echad v'eruvei b'makom acher, that he's in one place and his eruv is in a different place. So then in such a case, it's not a valid eruv. If it's l'mala me'asara tefachim, so l'mala me'asara tefachim might be one rishus, and he is in a different place, it's who v'eruvei b'makom acher.
Lemata me'asar tvachim, eruv ha'eruv. However, according to Rebbe, we're going to see this is the Shita of Rebbe. If it's less than 10 tvachim, eruv is a valid eruv, even if it's on top of a tree. Va'asa litla mitok shlosha. Va'asa litla, and it's us to take it from it. Now, so that comes out, there's an amazing dichotomy over here. On the one end, you have an eruv that is kosher, but you're not allowed to get it on Shabbos. Why is it kosher? Because during Bein Hashmashos, you would have been able to climb up the tree. We learned on Lamed Beis Amed Beis that the halacha is that they didn't make the Shavuos Bein Hashmashos. So that's going to be the svar over here of Rebbe. But if it's within three to the ground, then mutar litl, then it's mamish considered on the ground, and it's going to be mutar to take it from. Now we have a seifa. So that's the reisha. Now we have a seifa. Nosnoi bikalkala. If the eruv was not on one of the branches, but was in a basket, v'tloi be'ilan, and he hung it on a tree, afilu lemala me'asar tvachim, even if it's above 10 tvachim, eruvei eruv, then in such a case, the eruv is a valid eruv. If we're talking about something that's above 10 tvachim, so above 10 tvachim, let's take a look at Rashi, is a problem of who ve'eruva b'makum acher. However, if it's in a basket, then you don't have that problem. If it's in a basket, it's going to be fine. Let's take a look at the Rashis and explain everything. Normally, we don't do the Rashis inside, but a hard almud like this, we have to do the Rashis as well. By the way, I always emphasize, I'm learning with the young Talmidim, when anything but Daf Yomi, you have to do the Rashis inside. Even if you're doing Bikiyas, you always got to do the Rashis inside. Daf Yomi, maybe, Bidiyavad. If you don't go to a good Daf Yomi shir, then you rely on the Maggid shir that hopefully he got the Rashi right. Let's take a look at Rashi. Also litlo, if it's higher than 10 tfachim, afilu haid lamata me'asar also litlo l'macher b'shabis, imrat l'achlo, mishun l'mishnamish bilan. Vafilu achi kane eruv bein shmashis tekivan deshimush ilan shvus derabanan. I'm sorry. Let's go even further back. Lemala me'asara. One more back in Rashi. Lemala me'asara eruv eiruv ukedu kimin maskinisan biniskavin lishvos beikar v'nofa notu l'chutz arba'am is v'hadar zakuf. We learned yesterday that if the eruv is in one place and you are mischavin somewhere else, you can't. The eruv is not going to work. Now if it's above 10 tfachim, so then that's not the same area that you were in, as Rashi describes in Dibra Maschil Vuhunis Kavin. So the Shita of Rebbe is that if it's higher than 10, normally it's going to be a problem. However, if it's not higher than 10, then in such a case, it's Huve Ruvo Bimokom Echad. But if it's in a basket, and we haven't explained at all why, if it's in a basket, it's not a problem. If it's in a basket, it's going to be fine. The Chachamim say, "Kol makum sha'asa litlo ein eruv eiruv." The Chachamim say that there's another problem, and that is you can't climb up the tree. So even if we're talking about a case where it's within his own rishus, nevertheless, it's not going to be an issue because it's not going to be a valid eruv because at the end of the day, he can't climb up the tree. And you're not allowed to. You can't take it, and you have a problem that even if he's simply taking it off and he's not climbing on the tree, he's being metaltel be'ilan. Being metaltel be'ilan is going to be a problem, and the chachamim are not matir you to do it bein hashmashos. Period. Now the Gemara analyzes. This is the end quote. You put the quote by Desanya, and end quote of Eine Ruveir asks the Gemara. Says the Gemara, the chachamim omrim ahaya. What exactly were the Chachamim responding to? Where the Chacham says, okay, Ilei ma'aseifa, what's the Reisha? The Reisha is talking about where there was no basket. What's the Seifa? The Seifa is talking about where there was a basket. Leimil kasavri rabbanan stadin asurin. If it's in a basket, why should it be a problem? Why would it not be a problem if it's in a basket? Because it's not on the tree itself. Now the Gemara was megale a little bit of why. What's the difference between a basket and no basket? The iser to be mishtamesh bilan is the ilan itself. The tzadin are not going to be bechlal. Okay, so then the rabbanon don't make any sense. All right. But then what are we going to say? El HaReisha. That the Chachamim are saying that in the Reisha, what's the Reisha? The Reisha is when the Eruv is in the tree. Hi Ilan Hechidami. What type of Ilan are we talking about? If we're talking about where the Ilan is not for Tfachim, so we know a very important rule, no wide. We know that very important rule, very good. For something to be considered a separate Rishus, it needs to be for Tfachim. So then it's Makom Ptur. And it's who? Ve'ruvo b'makom echad, because it's in a makom p'tur. The only time it's going to be b'makom acher is if it's not a makom p'tur, if it's a caramelist. Idiles be'arba, makom p'turu. Ve'idis be'arba, and if we're talking about that it has four tvachim, that we're talking about that's an area of four tvachim, ki nosno b'kakola mayave, then what's going to be the issue when, according to the Tanna Kamma, why would it be acceptable when it comes through the Kalkala? If it's for Tfachim, it should also be a problem. Of who they ruvel b'makom acher. So what would the Svara of Rebbe be? Even if you're going to say it's not a problem that he could be Mishtamish b'ilon ambein hashmashes, at the end of the day, fine, he'll be able to get to his Eruv. But it's who they ruvel b'makom acher b'shas b'ein hashmashes. That's a Gemara's Kasha. So Davi is suggesting something along the lines of what Ravina says. I'm Ravina. Reisha de ispe arba, seifa de lespe arba. So Ravina says, it depends on whether they're talking about the Reisha or the Seifa. The Reisha is talking about where the makom is for Tvachim. Since it's talking about for Tvachim, then the halacha is that's going to be a problem of who ve'ruva b'makom acher. The Seifa, which is what? Which is the case of the Kalkala Yoni, right? The less be arba. There it wasn't arba. Now it's going to get very complicated. The Kalkala Mashli Mosoi La Arba. Oh, this is what makes it one of the harder dafim in Arabic. And the basket, but the one advantage we have is at least the daf is short, so we could spend time to be masgir. The Kalkala Mashli Mosoi La Arba. But the Kalkala, Mashli Masal Arba. But the basket makes it four. What does it mean that the basket makes it four? That if you put the basket combined with the tree, then you've got four Tvachim. So here Yoni has the diagram. So let's take a look. In the Hodva Hadar, it's diagram Reish Chav Gimel, where you see the basket is less than four Tvachim, but it's next to a tree. It's next to a tree, which adds, gives it the shear. So now we have the following shaila. Before we get the background in the halacha and the lamdus, let's try to analyze. What's the fundamental question? Fundamental question would be whether the kalkala will combine with the ilan. And what did we learn? Rebbe is going to say what? That it's going to be mutter. So what's he assuming? He's assuming that it does not combine. And the Chachamim are going to say it does combine. But there's going to be more. There's going to be more that gets involved. Okay, everybody's inside. Reisha the Yisbeh Arba, save the Les Barba. The Kalkola Mashal Masal Arba, Amud Beis. The Rebbe Saver La Karebi Meir. The Saver La Karebi Yehuda. In order for Rebbe to hold this way, that's Mutter, he's going to need to hold like two different Shitas Tanoim. One is going to be the Shita of Rebbe Meir, and the other is going to be the Shita of Rebbe Yehuda. Savalok Rebbe Meir, he holds like Shitas Rebbe Meir, Da'amar Choykikin Lahashlim. Okay. Rabosai, this we had on Daf Yud Aleph on the base. We need, again, a diagram from the Hod V'Hadar. The picture of Chokikin Lahashlim is not in the Hod V'Hadar, but if you look back on Yud Aleph on the base, we have Chokikin Lahashlim on the Vilna Shas Daf with Rashi. In the Rashi, we have a picture of an archway. What happens if you have an archway where the arch itself, where the arch reaches the ceiling, in other words, the top of the arch is ten tfachim, but the actual entrance is less than 10. So let's take a look at Rashi on the top of Lama Gimel on the base. V'savar laka Rebbe Meir, da'amar gabi kipa perikama choykin lahashlim. That we draw in, we take into account, even inside of the wall, the shear, as long as the top is parallel to the end of the archway. Chokikin lahashlim. So, if you take a look at Yud Aleph Amud Beis, where we have the diagram in Rashi, what we do is we draw up to the tip of the archway, and we make it as if it's a square door, and we measure with chokik, we draw into the kippah. So now, Rebbe Meir is of that opinion. So on the one hand, we're following the opinion of Chokikin Lahashlin. That's the opinion of Rebbe Meir. So on this front, we would say that you combine the area of the tree with the Kalkala. However, it's not considered entirely its own Rishus. Take a look at Rashi on the second line from the top. Umiyu Rishus Hayachi Gemura Lo Have. It's not considered its own independent rishus. Kivan de ein bach tiso shel ilon rachav dalid, because underneath the basket there isn't a full dalid. In other words, mitzad chokikin lahashlim, you'll be able to get dalid, but under the basket you don't have dalid. You don't have dalid tfachin. So there, you're on one end, it's a separate rishus. On the other hand, it's not entirely a separate shus. V'savar like Rabbi Yehuda, and he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar Bo'inon Erev Al Gabe Arba, that you need to put the Erev on Mamish for Tfachim. V'leka, and here he doesn't have it because it's not resting on four. When the Gemara over here says that you need four Tfachim, in order for the Erev to be sitting alone, it needs to be on four, on its own independent four tvachim. Over here, Rashi explains, the Kalkala was less than four tvachim. It needs the tree to be chaykik lahashlim, the four tvachim. If it needs the tree to be chaykik lahashlim, the four tvachim, so then in such a case, it's not considered as if it's sitting in a separate rishus. And then, the only issue we're going to have is the issue of the chachamim, and Rebbe, of whether you're able to go up on, be mishtamish on the tree and bein hashmashas. According to Chachamim, you're not allowed to be mishtamish on the tree, therefore the Erev is not going to work, bein hashmashas. And according to Rebbe, you are allowed to. But what we've done now is we've made it that the Kalkala is not its own independent rishus without the tree. Now we put a big period over here, Rabbosai. After we put a big period after Veleka, we ask Stam, what is the makar of this sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that you needed to be chaykek lahashlim to make a makom dalit for the Erev? Mehechi teisi, an Erev needs a makom dalit. Says the Gemara, my Rabbi Yehuda, what's this opinion, Rabbi Yehuda? The sanyas we learned in a brisa, Rabbi Yehuda oimer no'atz koira birshus harabim, if you put a beam in Rosh Hashanah, v'niach ayiru v'aleh gvayud v'rach v'dalid, and it's 10 tvachim high and 4 tvachim wide, eruv eiruv, then it's considered an eruv. V'im lav ein eruv eiruv, and without it, it's not considered an eruv. Asks the Gemara, Adarabba, why should the halacha be that way? Why should the halacha be that way? Hu ve'eruv al b'makom echad. It should be the exact opposite. If it's on Yud and Dalid, then it's a separate Rishus. If it's a separate Rishus, then what's Halacha going to be? Then it's B'makom Acher. And if it's on Yud and not Dalid, then it's in the same Rishus. And the Brisa said the exact opposite. Adarabba. 8 lines from the top. Hu ve'eruv al b'makom echad. Ela hachika amar. Gvoa Sarah, there's a totally different thing that Rabbi Yehuda is teaching us. And that is, if it's 10 tvachim ay, tzarech shiyeh berosha arba. It needs to be also 4 tvachim wide. Arba in. Gvoa Sarah, but if it's 10 tvachim ay, ain tzarech shiyeh berosha arba. Then in such a case, it doesn't need to be 4 tvachim wide. This is the cloud. The klal is that the Eruv needs to be, if it's not in an area that's higher than Asara, then it needs to be in an area that's Makom Arba. Rashi explains that if it's less than 10 Tfachim, then it doesn't need to be 4 Tfachim wide. Why? Even though Rabbi Yehuda says it needs to be on an area of Dalit for it to have Chashivus, That's only if it's on its own rishus. If it's less than 10, that's already considered kemuna chara. And of course, the ground is much more than 4 tefachim wide. The ground is the circumference of the entire globe. So then, in such a case, it doesn't need to be munach ha'arba. But this is the makar that says that you need to have it be dalid, which was the explanation that was necessary to be mazbir, the brisa, which was the machlokis between Rebbe and the Chacham. Now the Gemara continues and says, this yesod that says that needs to be arba, that an Erev needs to be arba, is going according to whom? It's going only according to Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Yossi b'Rebbe Yehuda does not hold of it. Keman delok Rebbe Yossi b'Rebbe Yehuda. The Sanya, we learned in Brisa, Rebbe Yossi b'Rebbe Yehuda, Oimer, Noatz kana b'Rishus HaRabim. What happens if you have a pole in the Rishus HaRabim? V'niach b'Rosh HaTraxel. And you put on top of it a basket. V'zorak v'noch al gabov, chayiv. And you throw, and it lands al gabe traskel. This should sound familiar to you. This we learn in Shabbos on Daf Hei Amid Aleph. So now you're chayiv. You're going to be chayiv. So we see from the position of Rabbi Yos Rabbi Yehuda that even though there are no mechitzas dalet, it's sitting on top of a koneh, nevertheless, you're going to be chayiv. Answers the Gemara, Hasam hadron mechitzasa. Hacha lo hadron mechitzasa. No, there's a difference between the two. If there would be hadron mechitzas, so then in such a case, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda would agree that it's considered a makom dalet. Why? Because of the concept of good achis mechitzas. If you take a look in the Hod Vahadar Gemara, you will see that we have two different types of cases of a traskel. If we're talking about a traskel that's sitting straight, like we have in diagram Resh Chavav, and the traskel is four wide, so then in such a case you could draw down mechitzas. But Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda was talking about where the traskel was crooked. If he was talking about where the traskel was crooked, so then in such a case, you won't be able to draw down the mechitzas. Hasam hadra mechitzas, achalo hadra mechitzas. Rabosai, you put another big period over here. And now the Gemara goes all the way back. One of the most confusing things I had in preparing to learn with you guys was I didn't know what the subject in the Gemara was by simply reading the Gemara. It was hard. You put a big period. Rabbi Yirmiyah Omar, says Rashi, Rabbi Yirmiyah is going back all the way to the Braisa on the beginning of Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. We had a Braisa that we didn't know what to do with, of how to be Masbir the Machlokis between Rebbe and the Chachamim, right? We didn't know how to be Masbir that Machlokis. Rabbi Yirmiyah is going to have a different Hezber in that entire Gemara. Says Rabbi Yirmiyah, six lines from the bottom, Rabbi Yirmiyah Omar, Shani Kalkala. What was our kasha on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph? Our kasha was Mamanevshach. Why is it that according to the Chachamim, is there going to be a problem when he put it in the basket? The Chacham said it was a problem. Why is it a problem? Says the Gemara like this. Says Rabbi Yirmiyah, Shani Kalkala, Hol V'yachal in Tosa Leviya L'soch Hasara. Rabbi Yossi says that we're really talking about where the Kalkala was four. If the Kalkala was four, so then the kasha was, Hu Ve'ruvo V'mokum Acher. How could it possibly work? Because the Kalkala is somewhere else. Says Rabbi Yirmiyah, he would be able to bend the tree to bring it within his tent fachim. Says Rashi, let's take a look. Shani Kalkala, hol varuchahi. Not only the tree, I'm sorry, I said that incorrectly. Not the tree, the basket. Shani, very good, Michal. Shani Kalkala, hol varuchahi, yachol in tosa. He's able to bend it. V'lo yakrenu mitzliyasa v'yater rosh echad shi'atoch yud v'yitel aseruva. Wow! This is a much easier explanation than the whole complicated explanation we had above, going according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, Mashlim, Chokikin, V'chulei, v'chulei. No, very simple. That we're talking about what? We're talking about where you're taking the branch, and you're able to bring it within Asarat Vachem. This Bezer Hashem concludes the not easy Gemara that the Talmidim stayed well in on Lamed Gimel, up until five lines from the bottom, and we now go to the halacha section of Daf Lamed Gimel. Bezos Hashem Yisparech, our halacha topic from Daf Lamed Gimel, is the subject of an Eruv on top of a tree, and the halachos of taking something off a tree on Shabbos. The premise of the difficult Daf Lamed Gimel, is that if you have an Eruv on a tree, it will be prohibited to take it off. There is a machlokis whether an Eruv would be valid or not if it's sitting on a tree. But both the Chachamim and Rebbe say that it's prohibited to take it off the tree. There is a Ritva whose opinion we've discussed in Maseches Shabbos, who is bothered what is the reason that it is going to be Aser. The Ritva asks, if it's sitting on a tree where you don't have to climb up the tree, then it's not included in the Iser of Ole B'ilon. And why would it be that one would not be able to take it off? He points out that even though there's a prohibition to ride an animal on Shabbos, however, it's permissible to take one's utensils off the animal, as the Gemara describes in Perek Mishehichshich on Daf Kuf Nun Gimel. This leads the Ritva to come to a conclusion, which it was important for us on Daf Kuf Nun Dalid in Maseches Shabbos, and it turns out this will be a source for a very important position of the Mishnah Berurah that we will review. Says the Ritva, V'anachum be'enai dehachi isura, it's prohibited to take an Erev off a tree, mishum dezimnin dechishakolei, no sen gufo al ilan, v'hu mishtamesh bo. Says the Ritva, there's a separate iser of being mishtamesh be'ilan, and that is the reason that you're not allowed to put a candle on top of a tree on Yom Tov. Not for the reason that he might come to climb up the tree and cut off its branch, but rather, according to the Ritva, there's a separate isur of being mishtamesh with the tree. It turns out we did not emphasize this at the time, but this is the source. We understand more the psak of the Mishnah Berurah that writes in Simin Shin La Mitvav Sifkat and Yud Bey that it's always prohibited to take something off on Shabbos, off of a tree. Let us now go and review that sugya as we discussed on Shabbos on Daf Kuf Nun Dalet. Ezros Hashem Yisparech, our halacha topic from Daf Kuf Nun Dalet is a famous story with the Stipler Gaon, revolves around the famous story of the Stipler Gaon, Mesiras Nefesh of the Stipler Gaon, that actually applies la halacha every once in a while. And that is, there's a well-known legend that the Stipler Gaon, when he was a soldier in Russia, he was forcefully conscripted into the army in Russia, not a Jewish army, the Tsar's army. So there, he was required to do guard duty. He managed to get guard duty on Shabbos, and he would stand in guard. However, it was absolutely freezing. Legend has it that on one Shabbos, the soldier that would normally bring in the coat, there weren't many coats in those days in Russia, for the other soldier to do guard duty, had left it hanging on a tree. The Stipler said to himself in the absolute freezing weather, just another 5 minutes, of course, for a din d'rabbanan that we learned on Kuf Nun Dalet Amud Beis, that one is not allowed to be mishtamesh be'ilan, one is not allowed to use a ilan, lest one come and climb on to the Ilan, which is found in Shulchan Aruch, Simin Shin Lamed Vav, Seif Aleph. That was a discussion of the Gemara of why you can't use a tree for a wall for a sukkah, as the Gemara on the bottom, Kufan and Dalan Mabez, and it's codified in Shulchan Aruch, Ve'im Mishtam Shem Mechub Lekarka Klal, Gzeira Shema Yalav Yitlosh. So legend has it that the Stipler said, on this Isur de Rabbanan, Of course, if it's pikuach nefesh, he would have to violate it, but let me wait another 5 minutes to be sure it's pikuach nefesh. And the legend has it that he waited 5 minutes, and then 5 minutes, and then 5 minutes, and ultimately, he survived without putting the coat on. This is not to be recommended to be tried at home. It's a story that's said over about the tzidkus of the stipler Gaon. Now, what I would like to do is apply that to a modern case. And that is, every once in a while, a person's talus will get stuck on a tree. Or a person finds their sweater fell onto a tree, maybe from the clothesline, assuming that the clothesline was not muksa. Is it permissible to remove it from the tree? Is something hanging on a tree, by definition, prohibited to be removed? So it seems from the language at first glance of the Ramah that one would say that it's asur. Says the Ramah in Shin Lamed Vav Aleph, V'dafka Adam Shalom Sham, that if someone went up during the day, he's allowed to go down. Aval miniach sham chayfetz mebod yom, asur litlo misham mishabes. But if he put something there during the day, then it's prohibited for him to take it on Shabbos. Despite the fact that if he had climbed up during the day, then whether he did it b'mezid or b'shogeg, he's allowed to come down. L'chura, the simple reading of the Ramah, is that you're not allowed to take something off of a tree, and that would also qualify as being mishtamesh with the tree. However, the Elyo Rabba in Simin Tov Kuf Yudalid points out that the Rush in Perek Hay, not in our Perek, but in the fifth Perek in Simin Beis, seems to present the Isser in a different way. The Rush there writes that even though the halachos of resting on an animal and leaning against a tree are the same thing, that there is an Isser midrabanan, lest you come to ride, be mishtamesh bebehema or be mishtamesh the ilan. But if you put a saddle onto a behema and you don't need to lean on it at all, and you're not tying it, the Rush says it's permissible. And then the Rush asks on himself, but what about the fact that it says on Daf Mem Heyam and Aleph that you're not allowed to put a candle on top of a tree? What's the difference between that and the saddle? Says the Rush, the reason why it's prohibited to put a candle on the tree on Yom Tov is because we're afraid that you're going to go up on Shabbos to take it from the tree. By the way, the Mishnah Berurah and Rav Nevensal point out, therefore on Shabbos it will be different because anyhow, the candle is going to be muktzah. And the Rush concludes, Delo amru chachamim, the chachamim prohibited putting on things on a tree, Ela ein olin al gabe behema, ve ein olin al gabe ilan, biyomtav. They prohibited to put things on a tree, lest you come and climb on it on Yom Tov. The Elyo Rabba in the above place says that from the Rush is Mashma, and if you look back in the words of the Ramah, that's going according to Magen Mishnah, one could argue this as well, that the Isser is specifically to put something on a tree that a person would normally take off, and we're afraid that if you're going to do that, that will encourage people to climb on trees. But what happens if it fell there? So then in such a case, from the Rush is Mashma, that there is no Isur to take it off. Certainly, the Elyo Rabba concludes, that if it's something that's not common, it would be permissible. However, the Mishnah Berurah in Simin Shin Lamed Vav Sivkatan Yud Beis seems to say that the Isur is not the way the Elyo Rabba presented it. That it's if we're going to allow people to take it off the tree, they'll easily come to lean on it, and it seems that the Mishnah Berurah is afraid that they will cut off the branch, and that's part of the Gzeira Midrabanan. And if one takes a look at the source of the Mishnah Berurah, the Magen Avraham in Sifkat and Beis points out that the simple reading of the Rosh is like the Elyo Rabba had presented. Nevertheless, the Magen Avraham believes that according to the Magen Mishnah and others, it is usher to take anything off of the tree, and for that reason, it seems that the Mishnah Berurah and Magen Avraham do not go with the Svara of the Elyohu Rabba. I do not have one chelik of Rav Ozner's tshuvas in Shevet Alevi. The chelik that I don't have is chelik Zayin Simin Memdalid. Maybe someone could do some research. The Bar Ilan CD Ram that I have is missing one chelik of Rav Ozner's tshuvas. Thankfully, the Sefer Pnineh Halacha summarizes Rav Ozner's tshuva on the topic, where he suggests that even though the Magen Avraham is machmir according to the Magen Mishnah, maybe that was only a case where it was put intentionally onto the tree. However, over here, since it fell onto the tree and it's easy to remove, maybe one could be makel. It doesn't seem that way to me from the simple reading of the Magen Avraham. It would seem that there is a machlokes haposkim. We have on the one end the position of the Elyohu Rabba, on the other end the position of the Magen Avraham. It is a safek d'rabbanan. Maybe there is room to be makel in the case of where a person's talus falls onto a tree or anything else that falls there. If that would be so, then the case of the stipler, where the stipler himself did not put it intentionally on the tree, but someone else had, what would the Elyo Rabba say in such a case? Where it wasn't put on Erev Shabbos, onto the tree intentionally to be taken off. It was put on Shabbos. Does this takana, according to Elyo Rabba, only apply when it was put by a Jew on Erev Shabbos with the intention to get it? But if a Gentile put it there absentmindedly on Shabbos, would there be an Isser altogether? Or, according to the Magen Avraham, any time that's put on the tree, we have to be choshesh that he'll come to lean on it. In our case, where a person's talus blows off in the wind or from a clothesline, then it would be even less of an intention, and Rav Ozner Shlita claimed that even according to the Magen Avraham, it will be mutter. Of course, this is a shaila of a derabbanan, and I could definitely hear poskim suggesting that there would be room to be makel, even if the Magen Avraham would not be makel, in a case of where it was not put intentionally on the tree. Nevertheless, it's a safek d'rabbanan, and there would be grounds to be makel. This is a summary of the basic issues of taking something off a tree on Shabbos. Finally, I conclude this Dvar Halacha in regards to the story of the stipler. I was just in Bnei Brak, Zocha again this year, again to speak in learning with Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Maybe we'll recount one time what the discussion was. And we went to the Beis HaKfaros in Bnei Brak, and one of the Rabbeim in Netiv Aryeh, Rabbi Aryeh Varon, said over the story about the stipler at his kever, and he pointed out a beautiful lesson that emerges from the story, and that is that sometimes if a person says to Yetzirah, you're very, very hard to deal with, but just 5 minutes, I won't be nichshol for 5 minutes, then ultimately it could be that he could be zoche to achieve great heights by postponing something for 5 minutes. The stipler felt that in this case he had to, or he should, despite the fact that according to Elyo Rabba, one could argue it could be makel. This Be'ezer Hashem concludes the halacha from Daf Kuf Nun Dalet.